led by the Spirit, you start affecting people in the right way. Amen. You start loving people. You know, the fuller you get, then the more love you ought to have. Amen. You can't be getting closer to God and getting meaner and meaner.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. Why are you so mean now? I'm getting closer to God. I'm more devoted now. I'm more serious about my relationship to God. So you got meaner.
Yeah.
So getting closer to God made you more meaner than what you are. You ever seen people like that? I'm just getting close to God. Now you can't even talk to them. Because they're so holy now because they're getting close to God that now you can't even talk to them. You can't even hold a conversation with them because now they think they're better than you or that they're more holy than you, that they're more serious, they're more devoted, they're more committed. And see, that's that boastful, puffed up spirit. The more God you got in you, the easier it ought to be for you to get along. Because you got peace. You got the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, then the fruit of the Spirit is being generated all the time in you. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is constantly renewing you in the fruit. That love, that joy, that peace, that long-suffering, that gentleness, that goodness. No, that's bad. Oh, that's good. That ain't going to make you mean. Not going to make you nasty. It's not going to make you want to be isolated. The more God you got in, the more people you want to come in contact with. The less people you hide from when you're full of the Holy Ghost. Because another thing to go out your life is fear. Then you stop just being scared of stuff. Because the Holy Spirit is ordering your steps. So you learn how to trust it. You learn how to trust those leadings. And you know that you're going to be okay because, hey, the Holy Ghost told me to do this. When you start hearing his voice and he's teaching you things that he's hearing, he's revealing the Father's heart to you and what God desires for you to do, I'm going to tell you the greater and greater blessing that you're going to be.
Glory to God.
Glory to God in my heart.
You've been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
Best variety in music.
Great variety in music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
It's awesome.
On.
Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I will call your attention this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Verse 22, Proverbs 23, beginning at verse 22. And the word of God says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. And despise not thy mother when she is all. I want to speak from the subject this morning. Be careful how you treat mama when she gets old. Be careful how you treat mama when she gets old. These words come from a man who was blessed of God to have a wonderful and unsurpassed by any other save Jesus amount of wisdom here on planet Earth. A man who was given God's ability to understand and to receive truth. A man who has understood the things of God in a special way. And he shares with us some interesting insight about both father and mother. And it's interesting, as he starts off, he says, "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee." But then he says, "And despise not thy mother when she is old." There are several things I want to talk to you before I really get back to this verse, because I think in this day in which we live, somehow what God sees a mother as, society differs from that. I think many times what we know to be this most precious gift to the family has been taken and trampled under the feet of men, and we need to again see this picture the way God sees this picture. We need to understand how God has a word, and God's going to back up that word, and how it's important for us to understand that mothers were not a mistake, but they were so divinely designed by God to function in the family as no other member of the family could do. So many times today we see young people who don't have an appreciation for mother, don't understand that it's not just about you and mother, but it's about you, mother, and God. That you don't realize that you cannot say what you want to say, do what you want to do, act like you want to act, and don't think God's not going to have the last word. It's important for us to understand that in the family structure, God has a lot to say about the father and the mother. But since today is Mother's Day, we're talking about mothers. And I think you need to understand that God honors mothers. God honors mothers. God honors mothers. And brothers and sisters, if God honors mothers, don't you think we ought to honor them also? If God finds favor with mothers, don't you think we ought to find favor also? If God esteems them, don't you think we ought to esteem them also? If in his word he has taken a special place and given to mothers, I think it's best that we take out a little time and just look through some of it today. First of all, I want to just share with you some of the things that the word says. Let's go to Exodus. Let's go to the book that says, "Get out." And Exodus is the same word that we get exit from. It means just that, to go out. 21st chapter. And I just want to show you a few things that you've just got to be careful. Because the word shares with us, again, what God was trying to instill in his people, so that his people will understand how he feels about fathers and mothers. Verse 15 says, "And he that smiteth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death." If you smite daddy or mama, God says, now he's talking to his people. He's trying to instill in them how he esteems father and mother, how the family structure must be obeyed, how it must be given that respect that God gives it. He says, if you smite them, ye shall surely. No options about it. But look at what verse 17 says. "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be." Do you know there are children that curse lower than a dog, their mamas and daddies, like they're talking to a common thug out on the street? Somebody ought to hear me.
Somebody might say, well, they're not talking about cursing. They're talking about coming against. I don't care if you come against. That's a curse in God's sight. You disobey them, that's coming again. And you say it, listen, you got to understand, I don't care how old you get, how you can be bigger than mama and daddy. You can be wider than them. You can have the power to body slam them. But God is saying, if you smite them or cuss them, you're going to die. Now, he was trying to get them to understand how important. Let me pause right here. Say this about walking. Let me just say this now. Now I want to say, brothers and sisters, it's important. My wife just took out Trey, and I told her, he make noise, you get him out of here. But if you're just walking to be walking this Thursday night, one of our members. See, I got to do this because that's what walking does. It breaks. And ushers, I need to help the ushers do their job. And when they say, listen, you can't move now, you can't move. Nothing is more important than the Word of God. Nothing is more important. So we've got to get that straight. One of our members almost got into it. Good thing she was saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, and could control herself. About folk who came to our church and said, I like it, but y'all walk too much. Now, they wasn't lying on us. They wasn't lying on us. And I don't want to have to stop every time somebody starts and stops walking to be able to tell us something. I just want y'all to understand that. Y'all going to start getting mad when I stop every time somebody starts walking. And if I lose my thought and can't go back there, well, then you just get mad. Next time somebody get up, you yank them down. Say, listen, you wait till he finishes what he got to say. Now, at the risk of trying to find myself, the Word of God wants us to understand how God esteems parents. In this day and time, brothers and sisters, we've got to realize that we have got a responsibility to lift the structure back up so that God can get the glory out of what mothers and fathers ought to be in the family structure. Now, I want to say this because there are a lot of scriptures I just want to touch on to help you understand that God is not again in favor of children disobeying and disrespecting their family members, especially mama and daddy, at any age. You might have the ability to do what you want to do to them, but God is going to have the last word. Again, I tried to suggest this morning that the Word of God teaches us, and I want to go there very quickly, to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter. And I want you to see what verse 1 says. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Children, now the first thing I need to say about children is that as long as you got a mama and a daddy, you'll always be their children. You don't ever outgrow that ability to be their child. So I think I need to qualify the fact that it's not talking about underage children. It's talking about children who now have a father and are a mother. It says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And again, what this word is saying to us, and it is making clear to us, is that children have a responsibility to obey. Obey means to submit to their rule. It means if they ask you to do something, you ought to do it, and you have no gripes or complaints about it, because if they are your parents, they have a right, God-given right, for you to do what they said do. Now, what we've got to understand is some folk take it and say, well, it says, children, obey your parents, which seems to suggest that if your parents are saved, you can obey them. But if they are not saved, you don't have to obey them. But that's not what the Word of God is saying. The word is trying to help you to understand that this principle, that this communication that God gives to man to understand his command is that in the law, this is what he said, children, obey your parents. You submit to their authority and you do what they say do. Now listen, parents have a responsibility and a right to rear their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. They have a responsibility to bring those children up that they would love the Lord and that they would know the Lord. And when they reach the age of accountability, that they would turn to the Lord. But the parent's responsibility is to begin when that child gets here, teaching and training that child how to be what God has called the family structure to teach that child to be. And brothers and sisters, what you've got to understand is God has given that responsibility to parents. Now, it's a twofold responsibility. Listen, however you invest in training your child up when it is small, however you begin, I mean, I'm no real keen mind in agricultural matters, but I have seen my grandmother get out there planting her little garden, and I've seen how she's taking those okra vines and all of that stuff and tomato plants and how they take them and they tie them up if they want them to go up, and they can string them out if they want them to go this. Well, see, my point is that however you want it to go and however you want it to grow, you don't wait until it becomes mature to start bending it and to start training it. You got to do it as it's coming up. And see, a whole lot of folk don't understand. You know, children come up and then you start training them, and a child might do something, or if you take something from the child ran, and you won't do that, and you say, oh, isn't that cute? And see, it starts off like that, and then if you don't stop that, when it gets old, it starts. Somebody ought to hear me here. Because you thought it was cute then, but when it got some power and some size behind it and knocked you down, you ain't think it was cute no more. And see, what you got to understand is children don't know no more than you teach them. And if you're not going to teach them right, the world don't mind teaching them wrong. Y'all ought to hear me here. And so you got to understand, and I want you to understand that just from a purely natural standpoint, when the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, naturally speaking, if your parents, saved or unsaved, provides food for your stomach, who do you think you are to talk back to them? Say what you want to say, do what you want to do, go where you want to go, and then dare them to tell you something. Listen, if they're putting clothes on your back, I'm talking naturally now, saved or unsaved, do you know Gulf State Utilities ain't got nothing to do with whether those parents are saved or unsaved, as long as they're paying the bill? Don't you know where they buy their food at? Them people don't care whether they're saved or unsaved, but if they're buying the food that you sit down, put your feet underneath their table that they put there, lay in the bed that they put there for you, wash your body in the water they keep running for you, light yourself with the lights they give to you, stay underneath the roof where they place for you, then you ain't got no right. Talk about talking back to them. Who do you think you are? It used to be a time when a child would talk back. Them folk, they just had, before they knew anything. They have no control. Their hands seem to automatically disengage itself from their control and pop. Never shall forget, I was at my grandmother's house and I was in old folk conversation. I learned at an old age, you don't get an old folk conversation. My grandmother was saying something, and I said, no, Grandma, it was pop. And I learned early, whether they're right or wrong, you don't get an old folk conversation. Somebody ought to help me here. Yes,
I want to say this, that it's important from a natural standpoint that you understand that the Word of God is not saying if your parents are saved, then obey them. He's saying in the law, this is his commandment to the parent and to the child, that the parent ought to demand respect. Listen, child ain't gonna give it to you unless you demand it. When you get that issue settled, do you know you don't even have to hit them no more? I'm talking about when you got that issue settled, all you got to do is from across the room, all you got to do is just help me somebody. And I go in the mall sometime and I see these parents. It used to be just white folk. You know, they had all together different disciplinary actions from disciplinary procedures from us, you know. And they believe that what you do is you take the child does something wrong, you sit down, now little Johnny, you don't do this. And little Johnny jumping and pulling away from her while she talking. Little Johnny, did you hear what I said? You walk along and catch another good black sister. First of all, you know, the baby pouting or whatever. And they about 10 feet apart. And she turned around. Come here! In the morning. And don't let him act like he ain't gonna come. Sister turned around there and she stomped on there. And jack him about 5 feet in the air before his feet hit the ground again. And white folk look like. But that's the way you got to handle little Johnny. On our side, because he don't understand all that. Now, Johnny, look this in their hair. Somebody ought to hear me. And see, the Bible says, spare the rod. Spoil the child. We come from different cultures and different backgrounds. What worked for you, if it worked for you, that's good. But if it don't work for me, I got to use what works for me to get the job done. Now, I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, sometimes it does seem like it's a bit cruel and a bit hard in the way that mothers have to discipline their children. But what you got to understand, that responsibility is to make sure that child obeys her. And you remember that because you don't know how hard-headed that child is. And you don't know what that mother has to go through with that child. So the next time you be prayerful and try and understand, yes, there are two sides of the story, but if she let him have his own way, then she very well may be visiting him continuously in the jailhouse or once in the hospital or worse than that, at the morgue somewhere. And so it's a parent's responsibility to demand that child obey them. And listen, you got to understand this word, and I want you to see this. In verse 1, it says, children, obey. But then in verse 2, it says, honor. Now, obey has, and it gives the connotation, again, of surrendering your will to those who are in control. It means to do what you've been asked to do. It means that you will obey your parents. But now, that's also given the connotation of children being in their parents' house. In their parents' house. In. So that obey portion is locked into those who are in their mama's and daddy's house. Now, I think I need to let you know that there are some old babies still living in mama's. You can be 35 years old. 55 years old, but if you're in mama's house, the word says, obey. I never shall forget. I might have told y'all that once before. It bears telling again. I had turned 18 And I decided I was going to, let me first say I was still in Mama's house. And I decided I was going to go and just share. I wasn't in no stuff that was bad. I just decided I was going and share with a few friends. And I just decided I wasn't going to, you know, call home and tell Mama I was going to be out. And decided I just decided I was going to spend a night. And somebody ought to hear me here. And then I realized that maybe about 2-3 o'clock that I did have to go back there. But I figured that if at that time, you know, Mama would be in, you know, deep REM sleep. And so I said, well, what I'd do is, because I think I need to throw out incidentally also that I was in her car. And I came on in there. I eased the key in the door, turned the lock quiet. Now, I'm thinking she sleeps, so, but I didn't want to take no chances. And there was a seat sitting by the door facing this way. And so when I tipped in with my back toward her. And just as soon as I got the door closed and locked, put the keys in my pocket and a smile broke across my face, I started tipping. And when I made that first tip, walk up over the back of my whole back shoulder here was a bat. Y'all can ask about it. She'll tell you about it. And she came across, I think I need to add to you though, it wasn't no hard bat. It was still a bat. It was bad enough for me to feel. And she whacked up and I'm whacking and she threw the bat up again and I grabbed the bat and I said, Mama, what are you doing? You know, because I am taller than her and I was at 13 years old taller than her. And so by this, I said, I'm a man. She said, you a man in my house. And she said, don't you ever come in my house like this at this time. And I said, well, wait, Mama. And so we sat down here after she had gotten about 2 or 3 good licks off of me and made it clear that if I get to be 80 up in her house, she got rules and she just expect me to act a certain way. In her house. And I never shall forget to say, well, you know, I'm going to get my house one day. She said, well, when you get it, you can do what you want to do. And then listen, brothers and sisters, it's strange because when I first got my own place, somebody ought to hear me here. But when I could go out and stay all night long, when I could come in when I wanted to come in, I was in before the sun went down most times. I'm just trying to tell you, when they instill in you good things, You might stray away a little bit, but you're going to come on back. Come on back. Parents have got to make sure that their children obey as they are in their house. But then listen, after you get out of your parents' house, God says, now I know you think you got it made, but I've got another clause up here. It's not obeying now because you're your own man and woman. You got your own family and your own life, and I respect that. But what I want you to do now is honor your father and your mother. Now, what does honor mean? Honor means to respect and to love. That's the connotation behind this word honor. In this sense, it means to respect and to love. So God says, when you were in their house, I expected you to obey what they said. Now, if they were wrong, they were going to have to give an account to what they asked or said, because I made it clear that I don't bend and I don't change for you and nobody else. You do what they say, and listen, if you do what God says, God will make a way for you. If you got some parents who are not doing right and you're doing right, God knows how to open the door and give good parents to you. But you can't be rebellious and think that God's going to honor you for you rebelling what God told you to do. And so if you just learn how to trust God, God will make it all right. But listen, once you get out of the house, he says you still got to respect and love them. And so that means that your responsibility
for mama and for daddy carries on beyond you being in